Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
To you, to Muslim Americans across our country, and to more than 1 billion Muslims around the world, I extend my best wishes on this holy month. Ramadan Kareem.
As President Barack Obama, speaking at the annual dinner at the White House, celebrating the Islamic month of Ramadan. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. to round off this Monday afternoon's program. It's August the 16th. We're coming to you live. Joining us to talk about Ramadan began on the 11th of this month. That seems very early. It is. We'll find out why it jumps around. Ken Samples, a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe based in Pasadena, California. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you.
Usually we talk about Ramadan in conjunction with kind of the wintertime holidays of other religions like Hanukkah and Christmas. It's kind of put in that competition there around the winter months. And here it is, the heat of late summer, August, and it's already popped up. Why does it jump around the calendar like this?
Well, it's probably similar to Easter in the Christian tradition in that it can... The dates can move according to the calendar, but typically Ramadan is, of course, the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. Usually it's in the fall or in the early winter, but there are occasions where we'll catch it, you know, in the kind of middle of the summer, and this is somewhat unusual, but similar to the way Easter works, it changes.
Okay, then what are Muslims observing during this month?
Well, it's part of that ritual structure of Islam, so the five pillars of Islam, and Muslims, of course, believe that deeds are more important than ideas, law is more important than theology, so these are very critical. So Ramadan really is a commemoration of Muhammad receiving the Quran. This is called the Night of Power. Muslims believe that via the angel Gabriel, Muhammad received revelation. So it's a very important celebration, which comes at the end of the fasting period because, again, it's concentrating on the Quran.
We often, in the Christian context, associate fasting, which is done by the Muslims during the daylight hours of Ramadan, with repentance. Those two are long linked together. Is it right to call Ramadan a month of repentance for Muslims?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. During the sun, during the daylight hours, so that'd be from sunrise to sunset, no food, no drink, no sex. It is seen in the Islamic world as a time of spiritual reflection, physical discipline, a time to count your blessings, a time to think about the poor. And so I think generally speaking, but it's important, I think, Todd, to realize that Islam has a very different kind of piety than historic Christianity. But generally speaking, I think that's fair.
When you say different kind of piety, and you mentioned this before, it is a deed-oriented religion as opposed to faith in the Christian context. What do you mean by a different kind of piety?
Well, you know, Todd, in some ways, Islam is more like Judaism than it is like Christianity, in the sense that, you know, Jews keep kosher. Do you observe these practices? Islam is that way. Do you observe certain ritual practices, the five pillars? Whereas in Christianity, there's a greater role given to doctrine, but of course, doctrine and theology are then lived out through a life of piety. So rather than what you believe, starting with what you believe, it's what you practice.
I mean, actually, if you think about it, Ramadan is kind of typical or kind of emblematic of this, it seems, because doctrinally, there's very little there in Islam. I mean, compared to Christianity, it is doctrinally a very sparse religion, isn't it?
That's indeed true. I mean, there are some of their fundamental ideas are very critical to them. But again, I think there is a closer connection with the way many people would observe Judaism. Yeah.
What is the, if we could talk of it in terms of worldview, since Ramadan brings Islam to the fore to us once a year, what is the worldview of Islam?
Well, I think it would certainly be part of the theistic worldview tradition, but it's very important, I think, to realize, Todd, that Muslim scholars like to think of Islam not just as one more theistic religion lumped in with Judaism and Christianity, but they like to see themselves as a distinct religion, a distinct civilization, and their own world and life view. And so while I think theologically they believe in an infinite, eternal God who created the universe, so it's very theistic in orientation, they don't believe that humans are made in the image of God. And so there are some very important differences between a Judeo-Christian perspective of things.
What is a Muslim trying to achieve by observing Ramadan strictly? And then, of course, as you said, it's in the context of the other five pillars, the other five practices of piety among Muslims. What is he trying to achieve, Ken?
Well, I think it is a time to give consideration to that central Islamic idea, and that is the idea that the prophet or the messenger of Allah has received this word of God from the plates from heaven. So that would be a central theological principle. But I think in large measure it is a time of spiritual reflection. Many Muslims read enough of the Quran each night, about 1/30, in order to get through the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Often at the end of the day, and this is not an easy fast. Remember, some of these countries are desert regions of the world, the Middle East. They may go to the mosque during the evening, but it is a sacrifice. It is a time of discipline for them, and they see it as a very important part because at the end of Ramadan then opens up what they call the pilgrimage season. This is the Hajj, the time in which Muslims take their pilgrimage to the city of Mecca. So again, this is, I would say Ramadan is very much seen the way Christians might view Christmas. In fact, one Catholic scholar, John Esposito, has written a very good book on Islam, the Straight Path. He says that it is comparable, that Muslims view Ramadan comparably to the way Christians view the Advent season.
Two quick final questions then, Ken. For the Muslim, does he believe that the observance of Ramadan is necessary for him to achieve eternal life?
Well, at the end of the world, Allah is going to, according to Islamic theology, Allah is going to put a Muslim's works on a scale, and if the preponderance of deeds is good and outweighs the bad, he will merit paradise or eternal life, and if not, he will be judged. And so Islam is definitely a religion of works, of deeds, and of meriting God's favor.
And then with about 30 seconds, contrast that with Christianity?
Well, there is no distinct redemptive emphasis in Islam. Christianity says that we are saved by grace alone, not by our own works, but by the works of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that Christians do not value works of loving kindness, but it flows from grace. It doesn't result in God giving us or meriting forgiveness. And so Islam is not a redemptive religion. It is very, very different than historic Christianity.
Ken Samples is Senior Research Scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's author of the book A World of Difference, Putting the Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. You can purchase A World of Difference under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Listen on demand. Look for A World of Difference. Ken, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get Jennifer Roback Morse's reaction to Jennifer Aniston's statement that women can become mothers without men. It's made a lot of news. We'll see what Jennifer Roback Morse says tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll talk to Dr. Lawrence White about the secularization of the church. And then on Thursday this week, we'll discuss the dangers of hipster Christianity. Brent McCracken will be our guest. There are two different worldviews and two different theologies at work here. The similarities between the two, the fact that our holidays may coincide on the calendar, or that we may be able to compare the holiday of Ramadan with the observations that Christians do according to their theology, largely superficial, sometimes entirely superficial. We're dealing with two different gods in the end, and that renders two different theologies. Allah does not say what the God of Christianity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says. Allah does not save as the God of Christianity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit does. Allah has no son to send into the world to save a world of sinners like you and me. But the true God does have a son, and he has sent him fully divine into our human flesh to do just that, to save us. If you're a Muslim, you believe according to the Quran and according to your prophet that you don't really need salvation. You just need your very best effort coupled with some good luck on the last day and Allah's goodwill. And yet the true God saves only through Jesus Christ and what he has done. And that is not uncertain. It's completely certain. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Sunday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.